Hi, this is Kimberly, and we're at Newark Airport, and we just had our snow globe confiscated. Yeah, we're so pissed. And we want to know, who gets all of the confiscated stuff? Where does it go? And will we ever be able to even get our snow globe back?
Hey, thanks for coming into the studio.
Super happy to be here.
Tell me about the incident.
Okay, this is what happened. My wife and I were traveling out to Arizona to visit my folks who live out there. And in one of my carry-ons, I had wrapped all of my parents' Christmas presents. And I'm known for my wrapping, you know, ribbons, beautifully tied, incredible different colors, tissue paper, this and that.
Not to brag.
Not to brag at all. And so we're running. Our flight leaves in like 20 minutes.
So you're like late already at the
yes,
airport.
That's right. The line is moving. So I'm like, I think we're going to make it. And then one of my bags gets pulled aside.
That's the worst moment.
Yeah. And they took my bag and they took out the presents. They just started ripping. And I said, no, you can't do that.
They were opening your presents?
Yes. But not really like opening them like it's Christmas morning opening them. More like what the hell's in here ripping through it. You know, not
so
good.
So you were not pleased.
No. And I was about to miss my plane. And I said, I don't know what the problem is here. I think there's a cactus candle holder in one of these. And I think there might be a snow globe. And he's like, yeah, mm-hmm. I said, really? And he was like, it's too much liquid.
Did you make a scene?
Well, I was really pissed. I was, and also, I didn't have time to have this conversation. You know what I'm saying? Because I was late. And then I heard him say sort of under his breath, like, here's another one into the pile. And I was like, what else is in that pile? If they're taking snow globes, what else are they taking at TSA? I imagine it must be so much stuff.
Yeah.
So what I want to know is I want to know what happens. Like, where does all this stuff go? And if it's sold, who benefits?
Kimberly, today we are going to find out where our things go when TSA confiscates them. And we're going to try to find your snow globe and see whether we can get it back.
Really? This is exciting.
Yes, possibly too exciting for some little ears. Just a note, this episode touches on illicit drug smuggling. Enjoy. So we started our search with someone who knows what it's like on the other side of a snow globe, a former TSA agent from Richmond Airport.
Just call me Taylor.
And she's using a different name so she doesn't get in trouble with TSA. And Taylor did everything, checked bags, shuttled people through the scanner, checked ID, told people to take off their shoes.
Oh boy, you smell a lot of things on that checkpoint. We had this one guy come through and he had on penny loafers with no socks and it was hot outside. I want to say it was 90 something degrees outside. It was burning up. And as soon as he took his penny loafers off, the smell of his feet took over half of the checkpoint within maybe 5 or 10 seconds. If I were to smell it today, I would know that that smells like that guy's feet. It was horrible.
Oh, you can't unsmell that once you've smelled it.
Apparently not. And that's not the worst of it. We haven't even gotten to the most stressful part of the job.
X-ray. There's a lot of pressure when you're on the X-ray because you're the main person that's making sure nothing gets past the checkpoint. So it's always in the back of your mind that maybe I could have missed something, but you know that you do your best to make sure that nothing goes through.
And to keep agents on their toes / maximally stressed out, the system, the X-ray system, occasionally projects a fake image on the screen, like of a knife or a gun, so it looks like someone has a prohibited item in their bag.
To test the workers?
Yeah. I know.
That must be really intense.
Fake images aside, Taylor said she mostly saw the usual suspects. Lotion, shampoo, mouthwash, drinks, weapons on occasion.
Throwing stars are the most common that we had caught.
What?
Throwing stars? Are those like, is that like a, I don't even really know what that is.
We actually have a video pulled up so you can see.
These are throwing stars. Let's see if I can even get this one. See, lightweight.
Just it's a metal bladed star that you throw.
Yeah, that's what I thought.
Yeah, really getting some good penetration. Oof.
Oh, is that meat? What is that on there? Is that meat?
He's throwing it at meat. I don't know why.
Holy crud. And it did, like I said, crack the rib.
Anyway, people often bring contraband to the checkpoint on accident, like they just forget they have it. But sometimes the crime is premeditated. Taylor, what's the most absurd thing someone did to try to conceal something?
Someone had a Leatherman, so it's like an extreme Swiss Army knife. And his father gave it to him, but he didn't trust TSA downstairs to not go through his bag and take it. So he wanted to keep it with him. So he went to the restaurant in the airport. He bought food because you could take food through the checkpoint. You just can't take your drink. He brought food, put the Leatherman into the food and tried to sneak it in through some baby back ribs. He's put it under the baby back ribs.
In the ribs.
In the ribs. So like it was like two stacks of ribs and he slid it in between to try to cover it up. It was very weird, but A for effort.
That's crazy.
People go to great lengths.
Yeah.
You could have done more with that snow globe.
Well, you know, a little barbecue
fruit
sauce.
Salad.
I know.
Have you ever tried to smuggle anything through?
Yes. All right. I hope I can't get busted for this now. I went to visit my sister. She was at Northwestern. I was in high school. And at that point, I was dealing pot at my high school. And I went to visit her because I wanted to get a whole bunch of, I wanted to get like a huge, huge bag of weed. And I did. And I smuggled it back in a couple of different bags. A couple was in each shoe. And then I had a huge, like, thrifted wool overcoat with inside pockets, like a big men's coat. And I put a couple bags there.
I am imagining the salesman, the picture of a salesman who, like, opens their coat and, like, it's just bag after bag after bag.
It was kind of like that. It was a lot.
Well, Kimberly, there might be an easier way.
This is just a tip. If you have weed on you, the easiest way to get it through the airport and through the checkpoint is to take it, put it in a baggie, stuff it in socks, fold it together within the socks, and have a couple of different pairs of socks together. That way, it all just looks like a pile of socks.
Our lawyer told us to make sure to mention that Gimlet Media does not recommend that you travel through a federally secured checkpoint with weed balled up in your socks. Okay, so let's get back to the contraband you called about, your rainbow snow globe. Once your item is flagged, TSA loves to remind you that you have options.
Do you want to take it to your car? Do you want to put it in your check bag? Or do you want to let us keep it?
If you opt to let TSA keep your item, where it goes depends on what it is.
Mm, what are the categories?
So there's the toiletry and food category, juice boxes, shampoo, toothpaste.
Mm-hmm.
That category of stuff goes into the trash.
If you can see someone throw it away, then that's where that goes. It stays in the trash can. It does not come out.
Alcohol is a slightly different protocol.
The alcohol goes down the drain.
This was kind of disappointing to me because I always had that fantasy that TSA agents would get to keep stuff, but it's not allowed. And Taylor was like, you wouldn't want to risk your job for a bottle of Tito's.
Right. And what about, like, I imagine there's another category that's like scissors and knitting needles.
Yes. So everything else, the everyday sharp objects, weapons.
The throwing stars, the knives, the brass knuckles.
Miscellaneous liquid-filled globes. All of that gets rounded up, along with stuff people accidentally leave at checkpoints, and it all goes to an undisclosed location.
I'd rather really not say exactly where it is, but it was put in a room to where we could kind of see the fruits of our labor.
Like a trophy room?
Yeah, kind of like a trophy room. And it's kind of like a learning tool as well, because when you get something new in, it gives you something else to study.
Did TSA agents go to the room and soak it in?
It wasn't something that we would just go and let's go to the room. And no, it wasn't something like that, but these knives here, these brass knuckles, we could see that we're doing our job.
So, Kimberly, your snow globe probably spent some time next to some tough characters. Knives,
right.
Brass knuckles.
Yeah.
It's probably like smuggling weed itself now.
Having like some hardcore conversations just to survive. But now it's like the next step. So what happens when stuff leaves that room? I mean, that's really the real question.
So we asked Taylor, where does the stuff go when the room fills up?
I'm not sure about that.
So we had to kick it up the ladder to the highest levels of Homeland Security.
I am a spokesperson.
This is Lisa Farbstein. She works for TSA. We caught up with her before the government shutdown caused all of our emails to get bounced back.
Hi, Kimberly.
And when we asked about your reportedly confiscated snow globe, Lisa wanted to get one thing straight.
Did we confiscate it? We gave the passenger the choice. So it's a pretty fine line.
You're taking issue with my word choice of confiscation.
Right, when actually we give them a choice.
You're saying it's Kimberly's fault.
No, what I'm saying is that Kimberly had a choice, and Kimberly's choice was to voluntarily surrender it to TSA.
I like it when I get these kinds of choices.
After clearing up that important point, Lisa told us where the surrendered items go when that TSA trophy room fills up.
Right.
TSA voluntarily surrenders your voluntarily surrendered items to state governments.
There's lots of surrendering here.
So what happens is we box them up and the state comes with a huge truck and they pick it up and the state sells it and the state makes a profit.
In the case of Newark, where you lost your snow globe, New Jersey government actually doesn't want to be bothered with this legal revenue stream.
But Pennsylvania is more than happy to come pick up boxes of prohibited items, drive them back to Harrisburg, which is their state capital, and then they sell it off.
So Kimberly, we know where to go to look for your snow globe. We got to go to Harrisburg.
Oh, all right. I want to hear this.
After the break, the mother load of TSA confiscated, voluntarily surrendered items. How could this be where all of the TSA stuff goes? We're in a neighborhood. Kimberly, we made it to the TSA treasure chest.
Is it in someone's backyard?
Oh, it kind of is in someone's backyard. Nestled between single-family homes with manicured lawns was a gigantic beige brick building.
This is a secure facility, so I will have to have you sign in and get a visitor's badge. And
Troy, who works for the Pennsylvania state government, escorted us. And inside are the TSA surrendered items and the lost and found stuff, not just from Newark, but from JFK, LaGuardia, Reagan, Dulles, Philly, and a bunch of other smaller airports.
So that is the mother load.
Yes.
Hey, fellas.
Wow, here we are. So we walked in. It's got like a consignment store vibe and smell. There are a bunch of suitcases, there are bookshelves lining the walls, and then boxes filled with sorted random items. Like boxes of scissors and corkscrews.
Who does the sorting?
Patrick.
I deal with all the TSA goods that come in from the airports.
And yeah, no surprise, they get a lot of pocket knives.
In one shipment, I'll probably get 20, 15-pound boxes of assorted knives. Gerber knives, CRKT.
But that's not all. Leatherman. People fly with all sorts of crazy shit.
We have it all.
A lot of power tools.
Lots of power tools.
Drills.
No, you'll see everything from drills to saws to chainsaws, weed whackers.
No.
Yep.
No, one's bringing a weed whacker on a plane.
Sanders, bats, pool sticks.
Pool sticks?
Hurling, curling.
When you bring a truckload back, is it like Christmas morning?
Yes, that's how I tell everyone. Like when I open a box, I don't know what I'm getting.
And how often do they do this?
Pat goes to pick up from airports once a month-ish.
And I wonder, like, what kind of vehicles do they use?
A box truck.
Okay. All right. I'm really, trying to picture this much stuff.
So in terms of quantity, Pat's boss, Mike, says this is how much they're processing.
I think it averages, 10,000 pounds a month.
10,000 pounds of TSA surrendered items.
Yeah, right around there.
And that doesn't even include the unclaimed lost and found items, which end up here too. Do you get a lot of belts?
Oh my gosh, yes. Belts, belts, belts. Lots of belts.
It all gets put up for sale, including the belts.
We probably sell, Patrick can...
Probably after every shipment, I'll do a skid of belts.
At least 2,000 or 3,000 belts.
So people are buying the belts.
Oh, yeah. They love the belts.
The belts fly off the shelves?
Right out the door.
I'm just thinking, if you have that much stuff you have to get rid of, is it in the paper? There's going to be a huge sale, or is it an auction?
There used to be a physical store, but now they sell it online.
If you just go on govdeals.com and search PA state surplus.
Wow, you can just, I could go try to buy myself a belt.
Well, a few thousand belts. Let's surf over to GovDeals, see what we can find.
Okay, yep. Oh, wow. So you buy it by the pound. So here's a box of 11 pounds of assorted knives.
$25. Probably 30 knives in there.
How many pounds of watches is this? 2 pounds. It looks like there's probably at least 20. It's $10.
Yeah, a lot of jewelry from the lost and found.
Wow. And so, but who buys this stuff?
They said that a lot of the people seem to be resellers.
And do they get the money? Does the state of Pennsylvania get the money?
The state of Pennsylvania gets the money.
Right.
So yeah, over the last 15 years, they covered their own budget and generated $3 million in additional revenue for the state general fund.
That's a wow.
So Kimberly, you sent us to track down your surrendered snow globe. And there is precedent for people getting reunited with their lost items.
The one that I remember most vividly for myself was a boxing ring. It was a really nice ring. It was a gold with a red stone in it. It actually fit my finger perfectly. I was like hating to part with it, but because it was really nice. But I went online and I found out it was the WBC middleweight champion. It was a title ring. And I found out who his name was, and they were from Alabama, and I called their house. I got a hold of the wife, and she was like, I told him not to take that off at the airport. And I was able to get it back to him, and that was great, you know, to be able, because I'm sure that was a very precious piece of jewelry for him. It was a nice ring, but that was the one.
Oh, so he did that. Wow. That's pretty cool. But how in the world can we find the snow globe?
We asked. What about Kimberly? Is there any chance for her?
Probably not, because we don't have any snow globes.
Not a single snow globe? Well,
did you look?
You wanted us to rifle through all 10,000 boxes?
I know.
They assured us your snow globe wasn't there. But there is a shred of hope, because you surrendered it last month.
Well, actually, we would not have that property. That would be at the Newark Airport, if it's there.
When's the next pickup?
Next week. Yeah, next week, the 20th. When it comes here, we'll be more than happy to get it to her.
I'll write it down.
Sure. I have a good feeling.
Okay. Oh, I'm very hopeful.
Yeah, they said they'd call us if they get it.
That's good. That makes me really happy. It's like a great way to start the new year.
Yeah. Hopeful.
We're here for you, Kimberly.
If you were out in the wild, just like Kimberly was at the TSA checkpoint, and a burning question comes to mind, call us, tell us where you are, what precipitated the question, and we'll do what we can. 833-RING-ELT, 833-RING-ELT.
Every Little Thing is produced by Aaron Reese, Phoebe Flanagan, Annette Heist, and Flora Lichtman, with help from Nicole Pasulka and Doug Barron. Our consulting editors are Caitlin Kenny, Jorge Just, and Ian Chillog. Dara Hirsch scored and mixed this episode. There's a leather man in my ribs. Goodbye.